Next, David describes the razor's edge, staying on the crest of the wave in meditation and contemplation.
Through meditation, one becomes aware that how do you know what's going on in your mind? People complain, well, I can't stop my mind. How do you know what's going on in your mind? Well, because there's a witness. And the witness is the experiencer of the witness. How do you know what you're witnessing? Now, the evolution of consciousness, it emerged in life, let's say within the protozoa. And we said, the animal world has chlorophyll, just sits in the sun. But the animal life, protoplasmic life, has to acquire energy. So it has to get outside of itself. Its survival depends on getting this. In order to get things, it has to become aware of what it is. It has to sample it. So it has to experience things. So the leading edge of the ego in its human expression is the experiencer. Now, in the old days, they had a tape recorder. Now, in a tape recorder, you can hear the program coming in. Or you can put the earphones on and plug the earphones into the monitor jack. Now, what the ego is like a monitor jack. What you hear, what you experience, just happened 1/10,000th of a second ago. It's already been monitored. It's been modified. So the unenlightened person experiences a monitored version of reality. And it's the leading edge of the ego that monitors it, and it takes 1/10,000th of a second. Once the ego goes silent, everything becomes brilliant, profound, infinite. The exquisiteness of divinity radiates forth. Every tree is alive and is aware. Do you know that? Every tree is aware of your passing existence as you walk by that. Every living thing is aware, but not in a mentalized version. It's aware on the level of existence. To become enlightened, then, one has to get ahead of the experiencer. There's a 1/10,000th of a second. So you begin to anticipate the leading edge of the experiencer. You see that it's not a you that is experiencing. It's an autonomous phenomena called the experiencer. With prayer and supplication, one can then get to the infinite silent space, which is a prior to the experiencer. And this comes as a sudden awareness. And it's like a droning background sound stops. Suddenly you're in the infinite space and you're experiencing the essence of all that exists instead of appearance. Now, by appearance, we talk about perception. So instead of experiencing how a thing is viewed or perceived, experienced, you experience everything as it is in its essence. The perceiver is constantly editing everything. The mind is extremely complicated. In every 1/100th of a second, it's already accomplishing millions of feats simultaneously. It does it just by virtue of its structure. Now, probably the nearest comparison is the internet. You can put something out there and instantly 50 million people are aware of it in an instant. So this processor orchestrates, organizes, and stratifies, categorizes, gives priority, importance, and dominance to an infinite millions of minor data. This is done automatically by the mind, and recently some interesting research about it on the neurologic level, that these dominant fields are prioritized. So when I talk about attractor energy fields, it's really an interaction of multiple fields. And then there are major fields that dominate all subservient to it. People talk about free will, and they love to argue about it. Those arguments calibrate about 190 always. Free will has to do with prioritization. And of course, in quantum mechanics, we realize it's called the quantum Zeno effect. The more often you make a certain decision, the more likely it is to happen. It increases the likelihood. Although statistically, mathematically, it looks like probability would remain the same in actuality. So you have cascading levels of dominance. So the spiritually oriented person is now pulling forth cascading levels of dominance. A person not spiritually oriented can enjoy hating somebody. A person who has adopted and made the choice to become spiritual can no longer enjoy hating somebody. First, he feels guilty about it. Then he realizes he can't feel guilty about it either. He has to give it up. And so he has to transcend all the lower levels of consciousness until he sees it differently. And now he sees there's nothing to hate the person for. He's just being who he is. Those are cascading levels of dominance in the field of consciousness. I denote them as attractor fields. And when it comes to free choice, people argue, is there such a thing as free choice? And as I say, it can become the most stupid argument you've ever heard. And it's been going on for centuries. But the more often you choose to be loving and forgiving, the greater the likelihood that you will choose that option next time. So by choice, let's say, dear God, I ask to see things differently, you have now just pulled in a whole powerful attractor field of dominance by which lesser fields, let's say to hate the person, get even, are now dominated by the more powerful field. So that's how karma operates. By choice, then, you increase the likelihood that other choices similarly will be made. That's the danger of video games. The video game trains you to kill, 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 kill. And then the teenager goes to school and kills 12 people, and they say, oh, it must be the way he was brought up. No, it wasn't the way he was brought up. He's just been brainwashed to kill. How many people has an average teenage boy killed by age 17? Hundreds of thousands. The most successful video games out there are merely training how to kill. So, of course, when he goes out and he pulls the trigger, does he feel anything? Not really. He's done it 1,000 times. You've trained him to, haven't you? You brainwashed him that it's fun. What's more fun than killing people? How to track them down, and especially how to savage the innocent. We have that going on in our society right now.